I know. They're not listening. Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah. Okay, ladies, can I have your attention? And if there's anyone out there that would like to come in and the... All right. It's all right. All right. Well, we praise God for His presence in our lives, and we're just going to let our heart out to Him and give Him our praise, all right? Father, we thank You this morning that we have this blessing of being part of Your family, for You being our God and adopting us into Your family, making it possible, Jesus, because of Your incredible sacrifice for us, and we continue to grow in our understanding, but it is actually an infinite thing. And so in the process, we have been given the greatest gift, which is Your presence through the Holy Spirit. So we invite You to fill us this morning. Guide this worship, anoint each of us, and may we continue to seek Your presence in all things. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship.
Good morning, Chancellor Church. You guys ready to worship? Yes?
Amen.
Awesome. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are a light to this world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine. Shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is where? In heaven?
In heaven.
Amen." So let's light the fire.
Don't let my love grow cold. I'm calling out like the fire again. Don't let my vision die. I'm calling out like the fire again. You know my heart, my deeds. I'm calling out like the fire again. I need your discipline. I'm calling out like the fire again. Oh, I'm muted by gold, refined in the fire, naked and poor, wretched and blind. Lord, light the fire again.
Light my fire.
Don't let my love grow cold.
I'm calling out. Light the fire again. Don't let my vision die. I'm calling out. Light the fire again.
Let's sing again.
Don't let my love grow cold. I'm calling out like the fire again. Don't let my vision die. I'm calling out like the fire again. your discipline. I'm calling out like the fire again. Oh, I'm here by gold, refined in the fire.
Naked and poor, wretched and blind I come. Lord, light the fire again. Lord, light the fire again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, light my fire. Hallelujah. It's tough sometimes, right? Sometimes I think, whew, it's awful cold, right? Sometimes just aren't moving, you know? Get those cold nights of the soul, right? Dark nights of the soul. Light my fire, Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a new song. You've probably heard it before, but bear with me. It's an absolutely awesome song.
All I see is a battle, you see the victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move.
As I walk through the shadows, your love surrounds me.
There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you.
So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at my feet. I sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you.
For me, who can be against me?
For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you.
When all I see are these ashes,
you see the beauty.
Yes, you do, Lord.
When all I see is the cross, God,
you see the empty tomb.
So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Sing it!
Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
You shine in the shadows,
you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you.
In the fight, I fight on my knees,
with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Yourself. Amen. The battle belongs to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is an awesome God. Because if we have to fight our battle alone, it's all over. Battle's over.
Praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
There's nothing
that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way.
There's nothing that our God can't do. There's nothing
that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
There's nothing that our God can't do.
There's not a mountain that he can't move.
Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing, nothing that God can't do. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Just keep plugging away and God will move. Amen. Purify my heart.
Let me be as gold and precious silver.
From within and make me holy, purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin, deep within, refiner's fire, my heart's desire is to be. I'm ready to do your will.
and I'm ready to do your will. Are you ready to do his will? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm ready, Lord. Are you ready to do his will? Hallelujah. Is your heart's desire to be holy before God? And you know, being holy means to be set apart. You're not to be the world. You're to be God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because great is his faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness.
Amen.
Great is your faithfulness, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, we serve a great and mighty and wonderful God. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, worthy is your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Such lovely faces this morning, my brothers and sisters. We're going to do something different this morning. I've done it once before, but we're going to start off with people coming up and giving their praise and praises. And then I'll come up and give a a little devotion, 5 or 10 minutes, or wherever the Lord wants, 1 minute, or if he wants all day long. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, if the Spirit called us, we can't deny the Spirit of God, you know. So anyway, I got some things to share, but I want to share afterwards. But I want to encourage you, if you have anything. I mean, we listened to the songs this morning, and I mean, just all the things purify my heart, you know. How many here wants God to continue to purify our hearts? Every one of us do, you know, because we want him to refine us like gold. And you know, I know I'm not there yet. I don't know about you, but I'm not. But I desire to be. I desire to be refined in the way God wants to refine me. And sometimes, you know who gets in the way the most? Me. I get in the way the most having God refine me. Regardless of what the reasoning is, God knows. And sometimes he has to take that little staff that the shepherds have, and he's like, come on, Craig. There you go. That's where I want you. Now, don't stray away. And then all of a sudden, I'm like this, and he goes, come on, come on, come on. There, all right. You know, and hopefully I stay there a long time to get more refined than I was before. But with that, I'm going to open up the mic to your prayers and petitions.
There's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this old way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. Drift away, Lord, drift away. You will surely drift away. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away.
Good morning, everyone. Love you all. I just want to share something that's going on. Good morning. My daughter went and had a chest x-ray because she's been coughing. And it's no fever, no, she doesn't feel sick. It's just this cough. So anyway, they gave her an x-ray. And they found I put spot on the prayer list, but they found a nodule in her lung. And then the radiologist said it could be a shadow, but they're not sure. So her doctor's supposed to look at it, and then after her doctor looks at it, they're going to end up doing a CT scan. So I had to say to her, because she's a smoker, don't smoke another cigarette. I remember in high school, she would come home when we lived in Hawaii, and I smelled cigarette smoke, and she would always say, oh, she's with her friends, and they're smoking. So when we lived there almost 11 years, so when we got here, and she went grocery shopping, she comes home, and what do I smell? Cigarette smoke. There's no friends in the car now. So now that's when she had to come out and tell me. So also, I'm just praying for her because I prayed for her over the phone, and I just told her, you know, sometimes you just have to know when to stop. Now, that's one nodule they found. So maybe by the grace of God, it's nothing. And if it's something, they caught it in time. So I just pray with her because I know she's a little antsy right now. My granddaughter, who's 26, Leilani, she picked up smoking, and she smoked these little brown cigarettes. I don't know what they are. And she's got caught the cough. But she also has chemically induced asthma because she went to clean this one bathroom in my house, and there's no windows. And she had the door closed, and she was using full-strength bleach. That was like 4 or 5 years ago. And she came and sat by me and said, "Mom, Grandma, I can't breathe. I can't breathe." So I had to call my daughter to come get her and take her to the hospital because I don't drive. And so she did it, and it's chemically induced asthma. So now she has to have the Bruderol, whatever you think. So now the doctor gave my daughter a Bruderol. I'm just, you know, sometimes when you pray and pray and pray and pray for your family, things happen. It's either going to bring them closer or it's going to, or they're going to choose to move away, right? Kevon, my grandson who still lives with me, he's 30 years old. Someday he'll get married soon, hopefully, you know, I'm hoping. And the cats can go too, but, because I don't want no cats. But he's reading the Bible now. But he's reading it from the phone. And I said, "Pick up the book." He said, "No, I can read it from the phone. That way I don't have to turn my light on." I said, "Okay." So now he's coming out asking questions. And I said, "Well, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John first." So he wanted to know why. I said, "That's what I was told, because I read from Genesis on, and things shocked me." And my brother said, "What are you reading?" I said, "Well, I'm in the part where the king, the woman killed her baby and ate it, and the other one hit her baby." And he said, "Oh my goodness." He said, "Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John first." So that's what I did, and then had to go back. So I know, understand more. So just keep him in prayer, because he's full of questions. I raised them up in the Lord. So it's like, well, thank you, Lord. This is maybe the how you say, the fruit of it. They walk away, and then they end up coming back. Because the scripture that says, raise them up in a way in which they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart. Do you know, the devil blind me from that part. When they are old, they will not depart. I always read, raise them up in the way in which they should go. I never saw that part. Spiritually blinded to that part. When I got saved in Hawaii, I finally saw that part. And I said, oh, because you're a teenager, you walk away from God. Even if you're raised, you walk away, you want to do your own thing. You got certain friends. Some people are good and they stay with the Lord all the time. Not perfectly, but they do. But then when I came back, I was 31 years old when I got to Hawaii. And that's when I gave my life to the Lord. And that's when I saw that part. So isn't that amazing? And God just blinded me. I mean, not God. The enemy blinded me from that part. I'm old now. So now I'm coming back. Yeah. So now I see them. He's 30. My oldest grandson, 34. And Lonnie's 26. So, you know, they're coming. They're slowly coming. But they're coming. And my prayer now is, make them ready before you come for them. It could be in, you could go to sleep and not wake up, or whatever happens. Make them ready before you come for them. But anyway, I'm getting tongue-tied now. So just keep them in prayer, okay? I talk too much, you know. Chatty Patty here. Love you guys.
Love you too. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so happy to be back. I feel like I've been gone forever. But I come back with a lot of praises. Robert is getting stronger every day with less and less meds. And we haven't been to many follow-up doctor's appointments because they put him off so long. He's got 3 coming up this week. He starts official rehab tomorrow. And he is due for a steroid injection in his spine coming up. That sounds terrible, but we're hoping it'll help. And there was something else he's got his custom-made orthotic ankle support. So with the 3 of those things kicking in by the end of the month, we're hoping for leaps and bounds. But every time I go home and he's been at home, he's doing something that I didn't think he could do. So he's getting stronger. He's moving around. So that's wonderful. I don't know how many of you remember Janet, the lady that used to live with us for 11 years, the deaf lady. Anyhow, she's had pneumonia. I'm now not her caregiver anymore, but I'm responsible for her medical decisions. So she was admitted. Well, she went to the emergency room. Her caregiver took her to the emergency room, and they kept her all night and then decided prematurely to send her home, where she started going septic, and they had to rush her back, and we almost lost her. But she spent last week in Spotsylvania Regional and pumping full of antibiotics, and she just is healing. Her new caregiver is also a Christian and a certified nurse, so that was a blessing there. But she's getting better every day. Now she's in rehab because she was a little bit weak and shaky and couldn't walk like she used to, and she needs to be able to do stairs because that's stairs where she lives right now. So we're expecting her to be out of rehab sometime this week, I think, and on going home. And I don't hear a lot of coughing with her. So God's working. I think God's always looked out for her. Things always come together. She always gets wonderful caregivers that are Christian. And so I think he just loves Janet, something special. And the best praise I got was last night. I work with this lady named Robin, and this was like over 14 years ago, and we worked together in the greenhouse doing greenhouse and horticulture things with the special needs people through the RACSB. And we worked together for a few years, and I talked to her a few times about God, and she asked me some questions, and she told me that she used to go to the Episcopal Church, but they had a whole big row there when new prayer books came out, and that people were mad and throwing them at each other, and the church divided, and she was just disillusioned. So, and she also grew up with an alcoholic mother who really did not treat her very nice. So she was kind of disillusioned about God and about religion, and she told me once while we were working, well, this is my God in motion to the plants, nature. So I've been praying for her for a long time. She moved to Cape Charles, Virginia, so we don't see each other much. And the communication had kind of dwindled until I kept seeing her about the time of the election, the last presidential election. And she was expressing ideas that a Christian would express. And so I finally messaged her, and I asked her, do I sense a change in your perspective about God? And she said, yes, you do. And she said her and Ray had been going to church. But then she, after trying to communicate with her some more over text, she started sounding a little low, and then she stopped talking. So I'm thinking, dear God, what happened to her? Did she not get into a good church? Did somebody hurt her or what? But last night I was sitting on the couch. It's been months, and I've been telling her about the new garden I put in and trying to get her to talk to me a little bit. But last night she started the conversation. She started texting me, and it gradually turned to God. And she told me this story. She said, I hadn't been working either. She's probably 8 years younger than me, I guess, maybe. I don't know whether she's retired or she just quit working. But I was feeling so low and so sad. She said, I did some flower arrangement for the church for, I forget what the first one was, but then they asked, it was so beautiful, they asked her to do one for Easter. And so she agreed, and when she was getting up that morning and going to the place to buy the flowers to make the arrangement, she said, God told me, don't go in these raggedy clothes, raggedy gardening clothes, put on some lipstick, make yourself look nice, and then go and meet this lady. Turns out the lady was a Christian, and Robin timidly, and she looked like she could use some help with her business. So Robin asked her, could you use some help? And she got a job there. And she said, it's just so wonderful working with her. She's a Christian, and she's, you know, and so it's a good place for her to work. And I was just so happy. I almost danced upstairs last night because she was such a good friend. And now I know she'll be a forever friend.
Thank you.
Just want to give an update on Tom. Richard was talking to him early this morning, so he was up. And then Richard is, you know him as Rocky. There's more than one Richard here. Anyway, he's up there with him this morning just to be of service to him. He's still too weak to walk, and so they're trying to figure that out. He's still in the hospital, so we don't know. I don't know for sure what the plan is, and I don't think they've fully discovered it either. So I just want to continue to lift him up in prayer. Pardon? No. No, he's still at Spotsylvania Hospital. I think it's 3031. I think that's it. Anyway, he's on the third floor. Huh? I don't know. It's up on the third floor. Go straight in, third door on the left.
Hello. Thank you. I really am like Connie. I just have so many blessings I wouldn't know where to start. And I've had a couple of very rough weeks, but I can't tell you the support I've had. One thing I wanted to tell you, they were talking about what to do with John now because he's not ready to come home. He's too weak. But the problem that he had, which was just passing out all of a sudden, the admitting diagnosis was complete heart failure, but they seem to have corrected that problem with a pacemaker, and he was so weak he couldn't stand up, so they were putting him in Woodmont Nursing Home for some rehab. And I didn't like that place at first. It was dark, and it was I didn't like it. So, and he was far away from the nurse station, and he can't use the call bell, and he's not supposed to get up by himself. So I went yesterday, and it was really much better. They had lightened up the place and made his bed. Anyway, one day I stayed with him 10 hours, and when I got home, I said, I'm just so weak and so tired and hurting everywhere. I don't know what I'm going to fix for me and my sister for supper. And all of a sudden, Marilyn called. I've got your dinner ready. I'm bringing it over right now. And so that was one of my blessings. She's been right there with me. My neighbors, Kathleen and Doc, they've been there every minute. There's so many people that I can't even begin to mention how many there are. But I just my heart aches for the people who don't have God in their life. If you go through this without the friends that I have, and your good God to just call on him day and night, I don't know how they do it. And so the last thing was, I felt like I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life. I'm not ever going to get better. My arm still hurts every time I move it. I'm just going to be like this as long as I live. And my niece popped in on a trip from somewhere, going to Richmond. And she talked to me for a few minutes, and then she said, Aunt Pat, you're going to be all right. She said, I had my shoulder broken 3 years ago, and it took 6 months for it to get better. But it does get better. Well, you don't know how that lifted my spirits. So I've had a few days where my spirits were way down, and Pat and Neil would call, or Janet would send me a text with a cute little picture. It's amazing how many people love me, and I love all of you. God bless you.
Good morning. I got a, in fact, I was playing music when the phone went off, but Charles called. I've talked to him 2 or 3 times a week. I love talking to him, but he's going through it. He hasn't been here probably longer than I haven't been here. He had a thing on his neck that he did get the, you know, his cancer that did get repaired. He got his stitches out Friday, but he's got an ongoing problem with his knee. He has to use the rollator or wheelchair, and that's a lot of the reason he hasn't been here is because of his mobility. And he called me just today talking about his feet are really messed up too. Again, so he's got to go in for therapy for that. He was in the hospital. He's home now, but he truly misses being here. And And I truly miss being here, too. My mom and dad are still going through it. The whole family's going through it. There's some major decisions that are going to have to be made. And they're not fun. But everybody gives, you know, has to get at that point sometime. But it's really a blessing that my whole family, as I've told you before, was saved before I was, and now I'm saved. And we've joined together. And there is a peace. It's like what Pat was saying. There's a peace that no matter what this world shoves at our face, God's got the whole thing anyway. I've told my mom, I've told many people, I'm like, you know, we're going through this, and Charles is going through this, and we're all going through this, but we are the children, and he knows us by name, of the one true king. I want you to think about that. There are kings, there are presidents, there are rulers that think they're all that in this earth right now. Disputes going on, bombs going off. But we are the children of the one true king that's got all that. And that can bring you a peace that goes far beyond understanding. And as we go through that, I found myself doing this. What kind of a Christian am I if I start thinking this way? Lord, you can't get us out of this. You have no idea what we're going through. I've got a list 300 pages long of the stuff that you have no idea what's going on. Some brother or sister will come to me and tell me the exact same things that I'm telling my mom and dad now. Mike, you are a child of the one true king. He's got this. We win in the end, and that is a huge praise. Amen. Thank you.
I wasn't going to say anything because I talk too much anyways. He asked my wife. but, okay, so anybody ever seen the movie or the play or whatever, Les Miserables? Yeah, so one of the best stories about the gospel that I've said as far as a word picture. An amazing story about the gospel. In it, there are two characters that there are many characters, but two of them that represent how we look and see law and truth. One is a man who was embraced by grace and still holding to law, spreads grace in a very loving way, who was guilty and who was given a gift. And another is a man who can't release himself from the letter of the law to the point where he hunts this man down and then ends up committing suicide because he can't see grace. So, there's a verse that I really love. It's in Timothy. And it talks about that a little bit. 1 Timothy 1:8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it for lawfully. Meaning, the law is necessary. But it must be to promote righteousness in a heart of a man, which requires grace. The law alone without grace leaves us desolate. But in grace, it moves us to righteousness. So, that being said, remember the grace that we have and understand that God loves you. But remember that his law still has to be there. Don't choose one or the other. Understand both must exist.
I have an update on Sam. He was supposed to come back this week, but his doctor said, no, you're going to have to wait a few more weeks. And so he's stuck at home. Not happy, but... And then my friend Nancy, the reason I couldn't get her, I tried to get her. She was in the hospital. She had, I don't know, some sort of a cold or a flu or COVID again, one of those. And so they released her to the nursing home this past week. And she's doing better, but I don't know. She needs prayer because she still can't walk. And I have a big praise to the Lord. Because today, about 54 years, I lost count. My husband and I were married at 11 o'clock today on June 22nd. And I lost him. It's going to be 3 years in November. And it was a wild marriage in the beginning, but nobody ever lasted through it. We lasted through it. You know, there were good times and bad times, and especially money bad times. But God took great care of us. I mean, we went from living on practically nothing, from good to nothing, and then we went back to great again. So we hung in there, and God blessed us. Thank you, Jesus.
Marilyn, you know, that short testimony of yours, you'll never, anybody that hears that, never know how that could speak to somebody. You said, we had good times, we were poor, and then we had better times, and you, Lord, sustained us through all of it. And you see, just that small little testimony, because I guarantee you, everyone in here has probably went through ups and downs in their relationships, especially in their marriage. But if God is in the center of it, He can sustain us through all those. So thank you for that testimony, Marilyn. We appreciate that. And I just want to thank every one of you who had testified this morning. You know, it's to build up and encourage one another. That's what God calls us to do. And one thing, you see... the pastor and I up here a lot, and we are elders, and I wasn't planning this, but as I was had something else to share real quick, which had to do with the songs that you played. Thank you, Mike. I mean, they were just tremendous. And then the testimonies, they all just kind of roll together. In 1 Peter chapter 5, this is our responsibility to you, and that's what our desire is. It says, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntary according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You know, I said yes to the Lord to be an elder. And, you know, it's not an easy thing. And we're here to serve. Isn't that right, Pastor? We're here to serve. We're here to, you know, to have oversight, to build up and encourage. We're not here to lord it over you. We're here to encourage you. And if, you know, we just keep encouraging, if we don't even see any fruit, we continue, it's our job to continue to encourage. I mean, we go astray, and Jesus, again, as earlier when I stated, He's bringing us back in the fold. You know, and just your words this morning, you'll never know, maybe on this side of the world, what it meant to somebody, you know, and they're in heaven. He says, you know, I heard you say what you said about marriage one day, and that just spoke to me. And because you could do it, I can do it. So never think that your testimony is, you know, is just null and void. It can mean a lot. But, you know, again, we're in a season, you know, of a lot of people in our congregation. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we are an older congregation. But, you know, when we look at God, whenever he did the mighty things, it was with a little bit. He always had to weed down things before he'd even get to work, because he wanted them to know that it was God that was working, not me and not you. We're being used by God, but that when people see the work that God's doing through us, that we point them saying, it is God who's at work in us, both the will, you know, for his good pleasure, you know. So it is God that is working us. But anyway, I know Tom called me this morning. You know, he's been calling me and we've been talking, and he finally, you know, he was backed up for 7 days and finally went, and he's going to go to rehab. But he was telling me this morning, because he wanted me to share it with you, that he wouldn't be, Medicaid don't pay for rehab unless you're in the hospital for 3 days. So he's going to be in the hospital for 3 days, and it's going to take him a while, and he's struggling. He wanted to let you know that he is struggling because he's not used to this. He says he's been shot at in Vietnam, but nothing compared. He's been away from his family when he was in Vietnam, but nothing compares to this, what he's going through right now. So we want to be in constant prayer. And, you know, and then, Pat, thank you for your testimony. I mean, you've just been a warrior for the Lord in the midst of all the trials that you've gone through. And we can praise God for you, that you've been faithful and true to the Lord, not blaming him. You know, you have your moments saying, am I going to be like this? You know, like you shared this morning. But God sent someone to encourage you. And that's what we need to do, is encourage one another. Just remember to be sober in spirit. Be on the alert, because the adversary is like a roaring lion seeking he may devour. You're walking in upright to the Lord. Well, the devil does not like that. What, one bit. He does not like that. But we have a holy God that is greater in us than he that is in the world. And you know what? The enemy has no authority over us. If we walk by the Spirit, he cannot touch us. He will try, and but he will fail if we keep walking by the Spirit. Yes, he may throw a little dart in there, but we say, ow. Like you said, ow, when you fell. Probably said more than ow. But now you're here giving a testimony, you know. And we suffer. We're going to suffer for a little while. And the scripture, I've read it all week long, just kept reading it over and over and over again. And I wanted to share this morning because God is holy. And then we're going to play a song in a minute. And I just, when the song is played, I want you to sing it with gusto, because it's who God is. And I want the Spirit, and I know that the Spirit, God wants the Spirit to come down upon us. And as long as I live, and as long as I'm walking by the Spirit, I'm not going to stop sharing about this, because I know God wants to shake us as a body. And you say, well, when I spoke earlier, well, we're small. How can he shake us? Well, what do you mean, how can he shake us small? Of course he can. God is God. And God wants his name to be glorified. He don't want this church to be glorified. He wants this name to be glorified through this church. And so I want to encourage this morning. He says, after you've suffered for a little while, and we have many that are suffering, right? Many that are suffering. After we suffer for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you and you and you and you and you and even you guys over there to eternal glory in Christ, called you to eternal glory in Christ with himself, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That is what God wants to do with Chancellor Christian Church. That's what God wants to do with each and every one of us individually. He wants to perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. And I'm praying this morning that God's going to come up on each and every one of us this morning greater than he ever has, to give us courage and not a faint heart. You know, we see the things going on in the world, and the world is nervous right now. We don't need to be nervous, because our home isn't here. All we need to do is be faithful to the things that God has entrusted us with. And I want to encourage you to be faithful this morning. I want to encourage that I would be faithful this morning to the things that God has entrusted me with. And God has entrusted me to serve you guys, and I want to serve you. Me and the pastor want to serve you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we don't want to fail in any way. And we want to continue encourage as we ask you to continue praying for us and encouraging us and helping us to provide for the ministry that is here at Chancellor Christian Church. We just have to be patient. God is in control. We don't need to look around saying, well, man, if we had only more. But if we had only more, we might have less. But we want more because we got the things in place to be able to disciple, because we're about discipling one another. And this song that we're going to play is out of Isaiah, and I just kept, I listened to it like six times this morning and was just praising God, and listened to it about eight times yesterday, you know, because it's all about Him. This song is all about Him. And as we sing this song, and as this song is being played, we're going to pray, you know, sing and pray that the Spirit would just rain down upon us and fill us to overflowing. So if you can play that song, please, I would appreciate it. It's 1 Peter chapter 5. You might just do the whole chapter 5.
And the whole earth is filled. sing it like you mean it. Oh God, that you would help each and every individual here, Father. Just be filled with your spirit this morning and go out with a purpose, Father, to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We ask, oh Lord, that you would hear our cry. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Troubles around the world, but the whole earth is filled with his glory. Let us focus on that. Let's focus on the glory of God, not the things that man brings before us, because it's only God. And I want to encourage this morning, if anyone here doesn't know Jesus Christ and you want to know him, or you've struggled for many years, you know, to really get foot in with Christ and you want to have a renewed relationship with him, I encourage you to, come forward if that's something that the Lord's called you. You know, he is a holy God, and he created each and every one of us for fellowship with him. But we broke that fellowship. But yet he renewed that fellowship through Jesus Christ. And because he did that, because his desire all along was for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That was his desire. And yet, he's not going to force anyone. He's not going to twist your arm. But because he wants us to freely love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. He is holy. Let us be holy. He tells us to be holy as he is holy. He tells us to strive for holiness, to be pure as he is pure, to strive for pureness, to be righteous as he is righteous, to strive for righteousness. But we know that enemy is like a roaring lion seeking he may devour, because he does not want us to be pure, he does not want us to be holy, and he does not want us to be righteous. He wants us to be defeated Christians. But because of the Spirit of God within us, he wants us to rise. He wants us to rise to his expectations. And because he's given us a spirit, we're able to do that. Because greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. We cannot do it, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things. He didn't say you can do some things, you can do a little thing. He says we can do all things. So I want to encourage this morning as I close in prayer, is ask the Holy Spirit to come into you in a greater way as we leave here today as an army of God, an army of 20 here, that we can increase the army 100-fold, 1,000-fold. nothing's too difficult for Jesus. We just have to be willing servants of God. With that, let us close this portion of our time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this morning for your mercy and grace and loving kindness. And I thank you for each individual here this morning, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would grant them the filling of your Holy Spirit, Father, this week to do something miraculous. Could you tell us not to worry about what to say, but the Spirit will give us the word to say at a given time. So, Lord, not worry about whether people are going to ridicule us or not, Father, because we have you. I say, so what? What do they ridicule us? You're the one that we have to be concerned about, Lord. You say, don't beware of the one that kills the body, but beware of the one that kills the body and the soul. And Lord, you're the only one that can kill both. But Lord, the enemy don't want us to have a new soul. He don't want us to be effective. Lord, I just ask, Father, that you would help us to be effective, more like you and less of ourselves. Take away all selfish thoughts and strife from us, Lord. Take away our pride, Father. Take away our ignorance, O Lord. Fill us with your word, Father. May we be in your word more. May we be praying to you more, Lord. May we be in fellowship with you more. May we, Father, encourage one another more, Lord, as you've called us to do in the scriptures. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, you can just bend it down. You won't do that.
Pull this back a minute until I turn. Whoops. It got me. Thank you.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Feel like I'm in his presence. Father, I want to thank you that you are pouring out your Spirit upon us and in us this morning. It's been amazing to see you take over. Teach us more, Holy Spirit. Teach us more. Teach us more understanding. Give us the desire to walk in Jesus' way. That it's no longer us walking, but it's He walking in us. We thank you, Father. Jesus, when you told us, when you left, that you were going to send us a helper. And we ask for the infilling of that Holy Spirit in everything that He is and in everything that He has and in everything that He wants to do. If we don't have understanding, please clear it up. Help us to understand. Help us not to have a fear or ridicule or not even want to have understanding. Forgive us. That's sin. It's real sin. And so, Father, as I feel that you've given me this teaching to share, that you open up our hearts and our understanding to receive it and to feel closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been going around and around with the Lord wanting to know more about the blood, the refining of the blood. I call it life in the blood. You know, there are doctors who offer what's called high-resolution blood imaging. In this practice, they claim to be able to take a drop of someone's blood and study it to determine the fascinating, a rare, of the individual's health issues. Using a high-powered microscope, they examine the shape of each blood cell. They look at the way that the cell is in interacting with the other cells, and they search out the presence of any parasites that are in the blood. Now, some doctors, they have even talked about being able to see the evidence of early trauma, broken bones, childhood diseases in the blood. And that's wild. He really created us in such a way. Sometimes, you know, we don't even think about the blood unless we have a sickness. Something invaded the blood. Now let's talk about God's blood. The most powerful blood that there ever is. He made us human. We have that blood. Now he's made us his friend. We've been invited in. We've received him. Sometimes we forget that we need his blood. His blood is the most healing, precious gift that we could ever have. We have it every day. It's here. What invades our heart? What happens to our soul? There's consequences. The name of that disease is sin. We know immediately, and it separates us from God. He even tells us, you know, there's two kinds of sickness. There's this normal sickness. Our blood gets taken care of. But the sin sickness in our soul separates us from God. He doesn't want that. He shed that blood to make us whole, to cleanse us. The white blood cells help to build the body's entire immune system. Each cell within the blood has a job to do, helping the body to strengthen itself and fight for foreign invaders that make us sick. What happens when our soul is sick? Pretty bad. There's no cure other than the blood of Jesus. And the name, my sister mentioned it, brother mentioned it last week, forgiveness, repentance. It's the only way we can keep the soul cleansed. And we have it every day before us that we can come before him and ask him to guide us, protect us, to clean the immune system, the holy immune system. Jesus Christ shed his blood to cut a new covenant with his creation, to forever bridge the divide of sin that has been a chrism between man and God. He inherited a new covenant that was prophesied by Jeremiah. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be the God of Abraham, the man who was called the friend of God, had only dreamed about it. But after Jesus' blood was spilled for the new covenant, we became not only heirs of Abraham, but also co-heirs with Christ. We share in the inheritance of Jesus. So then let no one boast of men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world of life, of death, or things present or things to come. All things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. 1 Corinthians 3:21-23. What Jesus did for all of mankind on the cross was unconditional. He will never go back or change his mind. Assessing the fullness of the blessings of the covenant, through our choice entirely. When we take communion, we are reminding ourselves of this sacrifice and the personal, unprecedented ways this new covenant affects every area of our lives. He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Luke 22:20. The blood that was shed was a covenant promise for all of eternity. Nothing would be the same. The blood of Jesus paid for everything. It washed us white as snow, so we could enter the presence of the Lord without without fear. The blood of Jesus gave us freedom and authority. Hell has been defeated for all eternity. And now we get to boldly release heaven on earth. Praise God. And let's take a few minutes as the ushers come and listen to the song, and then we'll take all together. Okay, Robert. Remember, there is power in the blood.
He gave his life that all be saved, though
Father, thank you that you've provided a way. Only your blood allows us to come into the presence of the Holy of Holies. And we're there now. Father, I ask for myself, for my loved ones, to show us even deeperness about ourselves. Show us, Father. We ask for forgiveness. The things that you present to us, things sometimes we're not even aware of. But we ask, as we take these elements, Lord, that you wash us clean. Allow us to have another new start with you today. And as he took the bread, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. And Lord, like you had lift up cup, you said, this is my blood, which cleanses you. And it was shed for you. Take and drink. Thank you, Father, for cleansing us. In Jesus' name.
Well, I praise God for the way His Spirit works among us. And it's such a blessing because it indicates that our hearts are open to Him. And so we just praise Him for that. A little distraction here, but I found this on the floor. Is this anyone's? Okay. Yeah.
My Bible was falling apart.
Yeah, well, probably a souvenir. And it's amazing how God provides for us, and even though we're a small group, God has just been marvelous in the way that He moves on people, and so both here and others outside of our group who support us. So will the ushers come as we prepare to receive our offering? And Father, I just thank you for the wonderful benefits we get from you. And we want to keep you in the right place in our lives so that we continue to honor you and accomplish your purpose. We commit these offerings to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're receiving the offering, I just want to mention this. I would have liked to have got this up on the screen, but I didn't get it done. But anyway, it says, be good to people for no reason. And Charlie Brown on there. So I just, somebody posted that and I forget who it was. And it just was, struck me as a great thing to keep in mind as we think about these things. Also, we're suspending for the summer our Saturday meetings in the evening, so that other people have other activities going on. So we'll come back in September. And if you have a birthday in one of those months, we like to celebrate the birthday. Come back in September and we'll celebrate you. So praise God. Is there something that needs to be mentioned? Oh, yeah. Well, what are you doing sitting back there? Come right on up.
Yeah,
Put it on your calendars. I know we're very few, but on the 12th of July, we're going to go to John and Dee's house to fix their deck. Their deck is rotted out. Except, I mean, the stairs are fine, and the BAM board, the ledger board, and the front board is fine. So, but we have to replace all the joists and decking boards, which isn't that much. But I encourage you men that it's in Lake of the Woods. We want to do that for them. They're going to pay for the material, and they you know, he's in really bad shape, and she doesn't do him well either, and it's hard on them. And I told him, you know, we're going to do it as a love offering to fix the deck for him, and you know, and so we need prayer for that, because it's probably going to be pretty hot out, but we want to get started, you know, early in the morning. And so if the Lord's speaking to you, you know, come on down. We want to be able to show something to one of our brothers and sisters that you don't see anymore, because any little thing can cause them to get worse. So just like Doreen had long ago, she couldn't come out because if she did and caught something when she was at her worst, it would make it even worse. And that's the same way with them. And so I said, if they wanted to donate something to the church, it's fine, but we're not charging them anything for it. We want to do this. And so I encourage you the 12th of July. And then if any of you ladies would like to go over and pray with them, you know, and just meet them and pray with them, they would love that. Because they always have questions because they're not out. Because the other day I was there just asking them something. I was there for an hour because they kept asking biblical questions, which is fine. But anyway, they need the fellowship. So if you can't work on a deck, maybe you can go over and just say hi and pray with them. So with that, back to the pastor.
Any other announcements? All right. Well, then let's continue with the preaching, and the kids can go to their part. All right. I'm excited about the message this morning, and it's been interesting for me to be in the book of Timothy. Not that it's new, because it's been very meaningful to me in helping me develop my ministry and to seek the Lord the way He wants me to. And it's an important scripture for all of us, regardless of whether where we are in our walk with Him. In our last message, we focused on the marvelous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which Paul spoke about when he was writing this, and how He is equipping us to fight the good fight of faith. Today, we're going to focus on how to carry this out in our lives, because that's the next part that he talks about. So in helping Timothy to accomplish this, Paul gives him instructions about how to do this. And so I have entitled the message, as you can see on the screen, "A Living a Godly Life." So let's read our text scripture, beginning in the second chapter, verse 1 of 1 Timothy. "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And I have been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth. I'm not exaggerating, just telling the truth. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. Women should learn quietly and submissively. I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly, for God made Adam first, and afterward He made Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result. But women will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and self-control. That's 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 15. Now, I realize that can be a challenging scripture, and we're going to talk about it. Let's try to just really seek the Holy Spirit here to guide us in what He is trying to teach us with this. I believe this was given to Paul by the Holy Spirit, but it is challenging, and especially for our time. We certainly need to be seeking the Lord's guidance in these things so that we understand them properly and apply them properly. So here is where I begin. Next. Supplications, prayers, and intercession for all people. This is the first and great instruction that Paul gives Timothy, but it is good for all time. This passage brings to my mind what Paul said to the Roman church about how to think about our leaders when we're praying for them. And, of course, it is especially, I think, pertinent during our time, but it is for all time. There are some difficult things that are happening in our world, as we know. But here is how we should view these things, and this is what Paul said. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes, too, for the same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They're serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. First seven verses of Romans chapter 13. And another challenging passage, especially when we think about countries that persecute Christians and kill them, torturing them to death sometimes. This is a very hard passage to relate to. But the reality is that when we're submitting to God and doing what God wants us to do, then we're going to pursue what He wants us to do, even in those circumstances. And God will deal with the evil people that are doing the things that they're doing. But certainly in our country, I mean, there's not everything is right, but in our country, certainly things are better than they are in a lot of other places, and so that's why it is important for us to do this. And, of course, as he is saying here, it is a witness for the gospel. And so as we seek this and try to do what we need to do, Peter also gives us some instructions that helps us in this matter. When he says this, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about keeping his promises, as some people think. No, he has been patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be found to deserve judgment. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. So, sin deserves God's punishment and judgment, but He's also gracious and loving to those who accept His grace. And so He extends that to us, not only now, but for our eternal destiny. God doesn't want to punish anyone. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But of course, if they don't accept, as Craig shared with us earlier, if they don't accept graciously His love, then He has to do that because they have to be removed from Him. One of my favorite novels was by C.S. Lewis, in which he pictures this as a guy walking away and getting lonelier and lonelier out. I mean, it was interesting, but the fact of the matter is that if we don't want God, it'll be the worst thing for us. And so that's why it's so important that we seek Him so that we have the blessings that He wants to give us. And then God has given us the opportunity to be part of the mission for helping people to come to know His grace. That's why Paul says to pray for everyone. And that is not always easy, because our nature is not to want to pray for some because of what they do to us. That's just the way we react, unfortunately. It's a natural reaction that comes. But it is so important that we understand when we are receiving God's grace, how we need to be involved as His ambassador to carry out the mission that He wants to give to the world. And I know I've shared this scripture a number of times, but it's one of my favorite on this subject. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said this: "Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we're in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this ministry of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. Now, that was a little lengthy, but I think it really makes a great point, doesn't it? It helps us see what a marvelous God we have and what a wonderful mission that He has given us. And it is all because of His wonderful love. That is what will help keep us focused in the way we should on the mission that He has given us, no matter what is coming our way. And it can be difficult, as we all know, and we witness in other people. It can really be a difficult situation. But God is wanting to work His will out in us in all things. And that reminds me of this psalm that I think brings this out so well. "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record Yahweh has cleansed of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to Yahweh, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. Yahweh says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust Yahweh. So rejoice in Yahweh and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 11. And that was written by David. And so what a transition he experienced. And as we know, David, of course, did some bad things. Even though God would say later, he's a man after my own heart, this is why. And we can be in the same position if we maintain that attitude. So, like Paul, too, he experienced many hardships, but he is still praising God for the blessing of being appointed in the position that he's in. And God has given him the mission to go to the Gentiles. He fully understands all that God has done through Jesus, and he is so grateful for God's grace to him. So this is why he is telling people to pray for all people everywhere so they too can come to know the wonderful salvation that God wants to give and not experience his horrible judgment because of their sin. So that brings me to this next point now where we get into the more difficult place, I suppose, of this scripture, but the instructions that he gives for men and women. Yes, this next section is difficult and also becomes very divisive, unfortunately, in the church. But Paul is trying to get people to want to live the way they should as he designed them, not the way we want to, as though we think we have the right to our own decisions. And that's the problem we get into. First thing Paul says is he wants men everywhere to lift up holy hands and to do so without anger or quarreling or controversy. Well, I think it could be that men could include women in this, of course. But the problem, of course, is that men need to understand they need to submit to God just like the women are expected to submit to God. And if they do, then they will fulfill their role properly, and then it will inspire others to follow in the same example. Well, the Psalms speaks about this to some extent. I found a couple of verses I wanted to share with you. I pray to you, O Yahweh, my rock, do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you are silent, I might as well give up and die. Listen to my prayer for mercy as I cry out to you for help, as I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Psalm 28, 1 and 2. And then there's one more, talks about lifting hands. O Yahweh, I'm calling to you. Please hurry, listen when I cry to you for help. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. Psalm 141, 1 through 2. Well, the fact of lifting our hands is part of the process, but is not the key. It simply demonstrates the attitude of the heart. We are to be submitting to God, and when we lift our hands that way, that is what we are doing. And so God is seeking us and wants us to seek him and to give our full devotion to him so that we will be seeking his holiness in our lives. And holiness means being set apart for his purpose. We're never going to achieve the full righteousness. That's understandable. But we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And as we live in his grace, then we will carry out what he wants us to do. But, you know, unfortunately, too often, more so than the women, men don't lead by example, which is what is important. That's what he's saying to the women. Well, it's also just as true for the men. They need to be leading by example. And that is why Paul says what he says here. And of course, he gives more instructions later in this letter about that. It's kind of brief here, what he has to say as he leads into the next part. But when he moves on to the instructions for women, the first point that he makes is not to be focused first on the external, but to be focused on the internal. That's the key. And of course, it sometimes seems like maybe that's more of a problem for women than it is for men. Not as far as pride being a problem. Men have just much problem with pride. It's just in different ways. But this is the key that he is telling Timothy. God is interested in character, and he wants that to be lived out so that it will count for eternity. And by the way, I want to add here, I don't think Paul is forbidding women to fix their hair or to wear jewelry. I grew up in a church that was the big deal, you know. Funny thing was, is I had a aunt who was my mother's sister who worked in a beauty salon. She owned it. And yet she was part of this church, and it was almost like a contradiction. The reality is that God is interested in the heart. And so, unfortunately, because of this scripture, often it has caused division in the church. That's what happened when we were growing up, you know. I've said this before. We thought we were the only Christians or in the area, you know, because if people didn't think like us, they couldn't be a Christian. And so it was so divisive and can actually become destructive. And unfortunately, many of the kids that I grew up with in that fellowship turned away from God and went out and just lived in the world. And I don't know what became of them because we lost contact, but it certainly wasn't good at that time. You see, what God wants is for man and woman to understand their role as he has given it to them and to pursue that so that we are submitting to God and allowing him to guide us in the kind of person he wants us to be. And so it's not right for a man to think that he's to dictate to his wife what she needs to do, any more than it is for the wife to rebel against the man. The fact of the matter is, as Peter gives us this instruction about the woman in this regard, he makes it clear that the way we win people to Christ is to follow his example. And what did Jesus do? He submitted too and gave up his life for us. Listen to what Peter said. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Even if some refuse to obey the gospel, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. But Peter didn't leave it there. He went on to say this to the men. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She is the weaker partner, but she is also your equal partner in God's gracious gift of new life for us. And the weakness is not that something is, you know, wrong with her character, but that she is in the weaker position as God has designed it to be. And when the two are working together as the team that they should be, then they will fulfill God's purpose of what he wants to accomplish in their lives. He goes on to say to the men, treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. So this is the teaching, actually, that Peter is giving so that men and women will function as God has called them to function, so they will fulfill his purpose in their life, which is what we want to do. We want to seek God to fulfill his purpose. And when we do that, then what we are doing in this world will count for eternity. And we will, in the meantime, become a much better person. When Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he said this about some of the things that we need to do as men and women. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And furthermore, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, that verse is often ignored before we get to the rest of it. But the reality is that when we're doing that, then we're accomplishing God's purpose in this world, whether the people respond properly or not. That's not our problem. Anyway, he goes on, for wives, this means to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. For he is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault in the same way husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Genesis 2:24 is that quote. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Ephesians 5:15 through 33. Now, the key for us in all of this is to be focused on what Jesus wants us to do. You know, I found out along the way, not too far into my marriage, about 5 years, I guess, always remember that pivotal point, I couldn't control my wife. She's smaller than I am, but she has a mind of her own. And we were kind of at a crossroads at that point. And God really began to work on me. And I've shared this before, but that I delivered the newspapers for the Washington Post at that time. So I'm out there early in the morning, riding along. And the Spirit is talking to me. And he says, maybe what you need to do is focus on yourself, because that's the only one you can really change. And that's the reality that we need to come to. That's the goal, is not for us to be trying to control others, but to try to do what God wants us to do. And so when we do that, then Jesus is able to accomplish his purpose in us, and he might be able to accomplish his purpose in others. And when we understand that, it makes a major difference in our lives. And then the church will be the example of what it should be, and we will be winning others to Christ. And the reality is not everybody gets married. So each one has to learn how they're going to conduct themselves, period, and following what Jesus wants them to do. When we do that, then the impression that we will make will be the impression of Jesus, as he has impressed us. And so then we will function the way God wants us to function, the ministry that he has given us. Well, there's so much more that could be said about these scriptures here in Timothy, but I'm going to leave it there. Simply let us seek to function in the role God has given us for our individual ministries. That's the key. When we do this, then we will be serving Him the way we should, and He will bless us and give us the opportunities that will count for eternity to be able to carry out the mission that He has given us. And that's the most important thing we can be focused on. Always remember, we are His ambassadors to carry out His mission. Thank you, and Craig, you can come and close us here. There you are.
Well, we've had a good morning, I would say. We've been able to hear the Word of God, be encouraged by many testimonies, but there's still work to be done. There's still souls to come to know the Lord. There still are walking wounded out there needing encouragement. So if you have it within you this week, you have time, call someone up, encourage them, build them up. And with that, I also want to say during the summer, we still haven't found somebody that would take us up on it, but we do want to each month is to go to somebody's house that's not been here for a while and take our Saturday fellowship over to their house. I've called a couple of people and they can't, so I'm still working on that. But we'll just when it comes, I will let you know. But anyway, just be in prayer for the things that God is calling us to do. There's some posters out there for some loved ones that we want to give to. So if you could please sign it, please let them know that we're thinking about them. And we're going to continue to do that for all of our congregants. And even if you know somebody that needs some encouragement, we can send them one too, even if they don't even come here. We want to do something for the community. And if that's something that's going to encourage them, saying, these people don't even know me and they sent me something. So if you know somebody that needs encouragement, let us know and let's go encourage them. With that, let us close in prayer. And remember about Wednesday night, Exodus. Man, I'm telling you guys, it's just a marvelous study. And we have a great time there. And I wish you could join us. And then tonight we have prayer at 4:30. So I encourage you to come. We're praying for all the things that God, for each one of us and for what God's calling us to do. With that, let us close. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your mercy and grace and loving kindness. And Lord, we want to be sensitive to your Spirit. And we ask, oh God, that you would speak to each and every one of us where we're at and draw us to where you want us to be. Because Lord, we cannot do it on our own. We need you, Father. We got to have you, Lord. Please come up on us, O God, and fill us, Lord, that we would do your work this week, that people will know that there is a God and that there are people in this world that love and care for people regardless of where they come from and who they are. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Now go out with joy and be led forth with peace. In Jesus' name, amen.